This episode of Breakthrough Success is brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Go check them out at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough to receive 20% off your first 6 months. How can we succeed as online entrepreneurs and get our first customers? That's what we're going to talk about in this episode. What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Coberti here. And one of the things about being an entrepreneur is that we are always thinking about ways to grow our business and get customers. And it can feel really overwhelming for the newbie. So we have a really great guest who's going to share all of his great insights about how he did some really awesome things, like having two nonprofits at the age of 16. Then he dropped out of college. He's actually got on the Forbes 30 under 30 honoree list at just 22 years old. So this guy's really been able to build successful companies. He's been able to get a ton of awesome customers. And now he just shares all of his awesome insights with us. He's written on places like Social Media Examiner, We, RSM, Freshdesk, SubSign, Digital Agency Network, a ton of others. But our guest for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Vlad Kalis. Vlad, welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. Really, really appreciate having me on the show, and thanks a lot.
Vlad, I really love that you're on the show, and you've just accomplished so many different things already. I mean, two nonprofits, Forbes 30 under 30. I'm wondering what really fueled this, because it's not like everyone's thinking about doing all these big things at an early age.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, it's a really great question. I believe that for me, it was a lot about just trying out things and see what sticks to me and see what I really feel passionate about. Because when I started building my nonprofits back when I was 16, it was a lot about the curiosity. Because I was participating in a lot of other nonprofit organizations. I was participating in lots of personal development projects. And the issue that I had back then was that I stopped learning at one point. I just felt like I'm not getting any new information out of them. But then I just started thinking that, okay, if I'm not getting any new information, let me just try to think of ways how can I do this. So I just started my own nonprofit to solve the question that I had. Because back then I was super, super passionate about like podcasts and journalism and video production and everything else. So I just started a nonprofit exactly on this topic. It was a project called Cuba, and it was like a new media magazine for pupils created by the pupils. So we were writing stories about ourselves for ourselves, and it was a super awesome experience. And this is how the nonprofit world shaped me so much, because I really appreciated learning so much from the peers of my own age, and also from other trainers and other awesome people that I was connecting with. And then I just ended up participating at a Startup Weekend Moldova competition. Startup Weekend is just a short event, 54 days, 54 hours, 3 days, where you just end up being part of a team or create your own team or come at the event with your own team and pitch a startup idea, no matter what, really. Like you don't even have to think so much about the startup idea. It's more about just participating and being part of this movement and being part of this experience. And I ended up being part of the team that I am currently in with, because these two other people on the team are my current co-founders. And we ended up winning the startup competition that I was speaking about. And since then, we are still together. We are still rocking. We are still building Planable as it is.
And it's interesting, you have a dynamic of co-founders, and some business owners, like, they go all in on like by themselves. You especially see this with content creators, because they write books, they do training courses, all this stuff all by themselves. I'm wondering what the difference has made with having co-founders. Like, you are splitting profits with them, obviously, but I'm wondering what that kind of difference is between like being able to get customers, being able to grow the business, and just splitting the responsibilities. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between that versus like doing it alone?
Definitely. Yeah. Because doing it alone, first of all, I'm really, really appreciate everyone that does this alone. Like, it's an enormous amount of effort that you have to do. It's really tons of willpower that you have to just get into this and then stick to it. But when it comes to building, a startup, especially a tech startup like we are, because we are a content collaboration platform for agencies, freelancers, and marketing teams, there are, when I'm speaking about co-founders, there are three of us. So there is me and also two other people. And technical people, there is only one. And when building a platform, you need someone that knows how to code. You need someone that knows how to build this platform. So this is how you, first of all, need a co-founder if you don't have any technical knowledge. Because if you want to build a platform, you can simply just hire someone to do this. But if you are just starting out or if you are bootstrapping and you don't have the resources for this, the easiest way is just to partner up with someone that has great skills, great knowledge, and you have a good synergy between them. And in our team, we kind of divided at the beginning our responsibilities. There was Nick that was building the platform. He was the technical and engineering brain of the platform. And then there was Ksenia. She's also another co-founder. She was leading our business side of the platform. She was speaking with potential partners, investors, and many other people on the finance and business side. And then I was on the marketing side because I was starting from the age of 16. I was super, super passionate about everything related to marketing. Newsletters, blogs, Facebook ads, social media, everything. I felt like this is my power. This is my mini, mini power that I can quantify on in Planable and make things happen because of this power. So in our company, it was the game changer because each of us, we were really, really good on some parts and some different responsibilities, and it definitely made us build this platform together.
And it's interesting how each of you have different roles. I know your role is marketing. So can you talk a little bit about how you're able to get customers? What were some of the strategies you did for when no one knew about your company yet, what were you doing to reach out to those initial customers?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, for us, it took us more than a year and a half. I'm actually writing an article now about this subject. It took us more than a year and a half to get our first customer. Because the first year of building plan, the first half a year, we were just building out the platform, just making the platform to actually happen for people to use. And then we were just asking out alpha and beta testers to just try out our platform, and we were going on different beta communities and everything else. However, there are a couple of things that were really, really important for us to find our first customers. The first one, it was that we were trying to be super, super engaged in small communities that were related to our product. Because we were in the social media industry, so we were trying to be next to the social media experts, and they were hanging out in different parts. So there were a couple of communities. For example, there were Slack communities, like Online Geniuses. I remember that this was the first community on Slack that I joined. And on Online Geniuses, I was just reaching out to people that were part of a channel called Social Media. And I was just reaching out to them in private and writing a direct message and asking if they are interested in trying out a new social media platform that we are currently building. And there were more than 1,500 people that I messaged. Again, I was not promoting the website. I was not promoting anything else. I was really just asking for feedback at that point because we were obsessed by getting feedback and making sure that we are on the right track. And we couldn't even monetize the product back then. So it was a lot about the feedback. It was about gaining the critical mass. And then the second strategy that we also did that was super, super helpful for us was reaching out to people on LinkedIn. Again, asking for feedback. We were using different platforms and different tools. Mainly, I remember that I used Meet Leonard. I'm not sure if this platform still works. But Meet Leonard was a great solution for me because I was just setting up the search filters for social media managers in New York, for example. And I was starting to reach out to these people if they were part of a brand or if they were freelancers or if they were agency owners or agency people. And I was reaching out to them to ask for if they have time to jump on a quick call for like 15 or 20 minutes to find out more about their workflow and how everything works on their end, and also to get their feedback on what we are building at the moment. And also, this is a similar experience with Facebook groups, but on Facebook, I was not reaching out to anyone in person. I was just trying to be as engaging and as active as I can on Facebook communities just to make people know about me and get into the in front of the people. This was on one part of being engaged and trying to make people care about you. On the other side, I believe it was super, super important that we launched on Product Hunt. For us, Product Hunt was a great opportunity to capitalize on new customer. Actually, after Product Hunt, we got 8 customers, which was a super, super big deal for us back then. Because Product Hunt helps you and gives you the opportunity to just get you exposed to the world, to the tech world. And Product Hunt community is part of like tons and tons of people, like marketers, developers, analysts, investors, no matter what, like people that are really, really, really curious about your product. And Product Hunt helped us with that. We just found out that our traffic on the website spiked really hard. Lots of people found out about us. We got lots of exposure, lots of ideas, lots of feedback on the product. And we also got our first customer. So that was super important. And if you are ever looking to launch on a Product Hunt, don't stress about that. Just put your product down there right to the world and see what happens. Lots of people hesitate to launch on Product Hunt because they think that this is like super serious and you have only one chance to launch on Product Hunt and there is no other chance and you're wasting an opportunity if you did this bad. But, and this is why lots of people just lose this chance. And this is why I encourage constantly people to just make it happen. Just try to launch a Product Hunt and see what happens. And then the third part, it was obviously Facebook ads. Facebook ads helped us a lot in the initial part, just because it was important to get in front of the people in other way, and we found out that Facebook ads were super cheap for us, especially if we were using video ads or carousel ads. These were literally some of the cheapest ever that we used, and we still run Facebook ads campaign that we are really proud of, that we are created like 2 years ago.
We've got more insights from Vlad coming up on how can we use marketing to expand our businesses, different techniques Vlad uses for LinkedIn to build relationships, all that coming up very soon. But first, we have the Jobber Minute. Jobber helps a wide range of home service businesses such as plumbing, painting, roofing, landscaping, and lawn care, pest control, snow removal, and general contracting, just to name a few. Basically, if you operate a business that provides a service to customers at their property, Jobber can help. Check out the full list of industries at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough. All right, let's get right back into this episode where Vlad's about to share with us some of the different ways he uses LinkedIn to do his marketing and build relationships. And it's really interesting, a lot of points that Vlad mentions. One, if your first product messes up, I mean, you have so many more opportunities. I've created a lot of products. Some of them have not made many sales, but if you create a few products that mess up, you're going to create that product that does really well. Another thing I want to point out is Vlad said LinkedIn. I love using LinkedIn. I think it's so underrated. I put videos up there. I use it to get coach and clients for my podcasting services. So there's certainly a lot of different things that you can do with LinkedIn. I feel like it is one of the most underrated social networks out there.
Definitely. Yeah. And I totally agree. And also there are a lot of opportunities that you can do on LinkedIn, like tons and tons of stuff that you can try to capitalize on, building yourself, building your brand in the industry, building yourself as an industry expert, trying to get your ideas and product and companies there into the world, connecting with so many amazing people that are really part of the same world as you are, of the same industry, and just establishing new relationship with new people. I really had the chance over the past year and a half to connect with extremely talented people and find out more about what they do and if there is anything that I can help them with. And on the other side, I see that after more than 2 years of effort on LinkedIn, I see lots of opportunities coming to me now. For example, just this morning, I had the chance to see someone that reached out to me that he wanted me to be part of a social media conference. And it's super exciting. I mean, this is just an opportunity that comes on, out on LinkedIn. And he said that he's been following me for a while. He really likes what we do and what I do as a founder and would love to connect. And again, this is just one of the many, many opportunities that I had on LinkedIn.
And can you talk a little bit about how you're able to get these kinds of connections and build relationships? I'd like to focus on LinkedIn, but I feel like we could talk like outside of LinkedIn also, because I feel like so many people, they build relationships, but then they forget about them, or they only reach out to people when they need them for something, like when they're launching a new product. So can you talk about how you're able to get these kinds of connections, relationships, and being able to nurture them over time?
Definitely. Yeah, would really love to talk more about that. So I think that as a marketer, it's kind of straightforward and it's kind of simple to do that. As a marketer, one of the things that helped us at Planable the most is creating to scale the most is creating a lot of content. Right now, we are creating so much content. We are creating newsletters. We are writing articles. We have a podcast. We have a video blog. We have articles on our blog, social media, and probably a Facebook group really soon. But still, the most and most important part is the content that we are writing on our blog. And what I mean by that is that creating relationships was the best part for me at Planable, because I was creating different types of articles, like top 20 social media influencers or top, for example, social media tools or things like that. And when writing this type of articles, they are called listicles, you have the chance to connect with the person, with the people in person, because you really, you praise them. You say how, for example, the top 20 social media influencers are. We just dropped the article out there in the world, and then we had the chance to connect with 8 of them that replied back to us, and they were super excited and super happy that we added them in the article, which was one of the best things that we did. And again, it didn't require so much effort. We took like 2 or 3 hours just to write this article and research and add the people that we were already following on social media anyway. So that we were really just putting out the people that we were admiring as well. This was one of the parts. So you can write listicles with different types of people, like top digital marketers or social media influencers. You can also write listicles with roundup, or you can write roundup articles. Like, for example, top 20 experts share their thoughts about next trends in social media next year, or share their ideas, for example, on economical crisis that might happen next year, for example. Or again, depends what's closely related. I'm sure that any listener of this podcast can find topics that they are simply passionate about, or this is related to their company, and just start walking around and reaching out to people from their industry, people that we want to connect with, and just ask them, just drop them a message in private saying, or on email saying that, hey, I'm currently writing on this article. I would really love to get your thoughts on what do you think about the next social media trend next year. Usually, like 70% of the people are replying to this message, because people are usually trying to get themselves exposured as well. So people are also interested to be part of this experience as well. And this is why people are usually super open to answer to any of these messages. And then the first strategy, so we were saying that the first one is listicle, the second one is roundup. And then the third strategy that I use a lot is when creating articles, you are, as a marketer, you are usually adding links from other articles, like really other reputation articles, like really, really good articles that had good knowledge out of this. So usually after writing an article and adding a link to someone else, I'm just writing them in private on social media or on email, and I just let them know that I did this. This is a good courtesy gesture. A lot of writers appreciate that. I really feel so proud of myself when people do this with me, when they write me about this. And this is why when writing other people that you added their links, this is especially helpful for you, because you already had the chance to put yourself in front of this person. And then you can also just say that, hey, let's keep in touch. You can exchange all of your contact information and then reach out for other opportunities, like the first one that we spoke. And then you just, at any time, you just can ask them to jump on a quick call. For example, just at the beginning of this year, I had the goal to connect with 25 brilliant marketers. Like, I had a list of people that I wanted to connect with. And half of them, I just reach out to them in person, say that, hey, I really appreciate what you do. I think that you are one of the best people in the industry. And what you do is extremely important for the industry. So I was wondering if we can connect for a quick 15 minutes call. I would really love to get to know you and find out more about some of the questions that I have. This is, I call it like a virtual coffee. This is like asking someone for a coffee, but this is just a quick call. And this has been one of the best opportunities for me to get to know to other people.
And I really like all those strategies. The key thing is like building relationships, but the way Vlad's doing it is, this is a thing we talk about a lot, content creation versus content marketing. You gotta create content, but if you create too much content and do no marketing, that's bad. But you need content created to do the marketing. So Vlad is basically creating the content, but in such a way where it's like this gray area. Like, he's creating content, but marketing at the same time, like an expert roundup. He's creating a piece of content, but now like 20 people are going to share that the moment it comes out. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on like how people decide between the time they spend creating versus the time they spend marketing. Do you spend more time creating or on the marketing side?
The best part about this, that's a great question. Let me think. It's hard to estimate because in our case, we have people with divided responsibilities, and we just had the awesome opportunity to have people in the team beside ourselves as founders. For example, in the marketing team, we are currently 3 people, and we are looking to expand the team with other 3 people by the end of the summer. And in our case, for example, I spend my time during the week probably 90% just writing articles, just writing content, just documenting, just creating content out there, and then 10% of this time just promoting the content. But I'm promoting only on some different areas. I'm promoting in the communities that I'm part of. However, there are other 2 people in the team. And for example, Luciana, she's my colleague. She's promoting the content through newsletters. And she's also promoting the content through social media. And my other colleague, our head of marketing, Miruna, she's promoting the content through Facebook ads and other type of ads that we are doing. And this is why, in terms of our team, it probably might end up like 60% creating the content and 40% promoting the content. But for me personally, this is definitely a lot more creating the content itself.
Yeah, and that's definitely a good distinction to make, like given the fact that you have a bunch of people. Like, there are some people who are doing this alone, but just like that ratio, like 60-40, that's like an overall average, is really useful. And then the content you are creating is also marketing in a sense, if it is these roundups, if it is like top 20 people to know. So definitely really great insights, because I feel like a lot of people think about content creation versus content marketing all the time. I'm wondering if you can share with us some of the habits that you would say are essential for your success.
Wow. One of the habits that is essential to my success. Let me say, I think I actually have 3 of them in mind. So the first one was the habit of just pushing myself to write content. I'm literally every single day, I'm just opening a new Google Docs document and I'm trying to write. And I'm setting myself for at least an hour to write every single day. And again, I'm trying to not be super, super stressed about this. I'm just trying to think what's going to happen. I'm trying to research as much as I can. And even if I feel like things are not working, I'm just trying to create at least something so that the next day I will be able to start with at least something, at least a couple of paragraphs, at least a couple of articles, at least a couple of ideas that I can start from with different inspiration materials. So this was the first one. I would say that creating or trying to create any type of content, like a social media post or writing a newsletter or creating some Facebook ads or just writing an article, this is super, super important just to get you into the habit of creating it. Because afterwards, you will see that after a couple of months or even years, you will feel like things are just flowing naturally. The second part is I'm meditating a lot. I really appreciate meditating. I'm using Headspace. This is probably the best solution that I have ever used. I tried really other apps, but what I love about Headspace is the voices. I really feel the voices myself, and I really like the way the speakers speak in there, so that it feels very natural to me and very calming, I would say. And then the first part is that I'm also working out a lot. I'm really doing lots of sport. I'm working out a lot at the gym. I'm trying to swim. I'm starting next week with Pilates, which just as a test, just as an experiment to see if I'm going to like it. And then just trying to move as much as you can to just get your creative juices flowing.
And I really like the exercise. I mean, that's certainly a great habit, something that I also do every day. And also that idea of creating every day, like if it's something that you really want to be an expert at, it is something you should put every day into. So definitely love that insight. For people who want to learn more about you, I know you've got Planable, which will be in the show notes, or any other places we could go to learn more about you.
Definitely. Yeah. So where can you learn more about me? So I would say, first of all, connect with me on LinkedIn, since this is the fact that I've mentioned. There's also Twitter. The best part is just connecting with me on Facebook or Twitter. And if you have any questions, reach out to me anytime.
But thank you so much for sharing all those resources with us and all of the great insights. Breakthrough Success listeners, if you guys want to know how to launch, grow, and make money with your podcast, you can schedule a free strategy call with me. To see if we can work together, markcabrera.com/strategy if you are interested. That will be in the show notes as well. But once again, Vlad, it was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Definitely. Thanks a lot for having me as well.
This episode of Breakthrough Success was brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Start a free trial or sign up today to receive 20% off your first 6 months over at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough.